Welcome to Hidden Treasure, the antique show that tries to find priceless jewels in unlikely places. And today, in our first program of the 22nd century, we're in the atmospheric setting of the it's a long name, this one. It's the next door, St. Mary's and St. Felix, independent United Church.
Sounds good.
And we're here to look at religious relics from the early 21st century. Now, I'm I for bargain. And as always, is antiques expert Crispin Taste. So let's start with the chair. The chair, very ancient chair. Now, what can you tell us about this, Crispy?
Well, this is a common chair from the year 2010. It's the grandfather of church seats, still much used and loved today. Here we see it in its natural, unspoilt state. Beautiful colours. Quality can't be faulted. Now, there's a lot of controversy as churches naturally want to replace them with something more comfortable.
Like reclining chairs.
Indeed.
There's a scratch I noticed on the back. It says, Sue loves Steve. Could that be a proposal, perhaps?
I suppose maybe the chair was an engagement gift.
Or a cry for help, perhaps.
You just don't know.
But it all adds to the value.
In any case, highly collectible. The only defect is that these would normally have come in stacks or groups. And this is rather on its own.
Yes, indeed. So, would you put a value on it?
Yes, about £5,000.
About £5,000. Hang on to those chairs. Now, we have an old church document. Obviously, much valued and loved. And it seems to be some kind of Sunday notice sheet.
Dated the 30th of July, 2017.
That's really ancient, isn't it?
These were highly prized, so much so that the church members would try to sneak them out of church to enjoy them in their own homes. This is characteristic of the period. Marvellous historical document. Shows the typical activities of a local church community. Here we have a church cleaning day. They're frequently mentioned in these documents, so must have been popular. A weekend conference on singing Leviticus.
And a mark that the owner has added, I noticed. It says 12 o'clock. Potatoes.
I would guess that it's probably part of the sermon that the listener particularly wanted to remember.
That value?
Common as muck, cheap as chips. £100.
£100. Now, here's a piece I'm looking forward to. What I love about this is its unnatural, unspoilt state, still with the authentic residues of hot beverage.
Oh, this is an exquisite piece of work. Beautiful lines and curves. Lot of work gone into it. original features, post Art Nouveau, I would say Blair Dynasty, has to be connected with royalty.
Royalty?
The maker's mark embossed on the bottom, Woolworths, adds to the value. Woolworths' work is highly valued today. It would have been used in the very top churches in the country. Of course, it's now extremely rare as a result of the scandalous dissolution of church pantries in 2055. Just feel it.
What I love about this is its unnatural state. I've already said that, haven't I? It's a piece of heaven. That's your line.
Thank you.
Should set the church internet buzzing anyway.
Amazingly enough, people used to drink tea and coffee out of it after the service.
That's incredible.
Absolutely. And as you so rightly said, a piece of heaven.
That should set the church internet buzzing, as I said before.
Yes, indeed. Sometimes you prize highly things that are worth nothing, and other things you regard lowly are worth a fortune.
But this is what people will remember in 100 years' time.
Oh, in eternity.
Put a price on it?
Well, when I was 12, I was told that one day I'd come across something in church that would be worth everything I have.
Really?
So, sell your home, sell your boat and spaceship, sell everything you have, because this is worth buying. Insure it for millions and millions. This is hidden treasure.
And there you have it. So that's the end of the program. Keep hunting, because there's always treasure out there, or in here, somewhere. Goodbye.
Hey,
what?
Don't do we have to give
off
it
your
back?
Microphone.
Do we have to give it? Oh,
yes, better switch off.
Special treasure. Let's pray. Loving God, as we come to explore your word, we ask that our hearts and our minds be open, that we might hear you speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to reflect back to the very last verse in St. Matthew's Gospel, the reading we heard earlier. Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasure as well as old. I'm sure you all have heard of the painter Vincent van Gogh, and he was a painter who suffered greatly with ill health. And he often had to call on the services of a doctor. But he was a very poor man. He scarcely had any money at all. And of course, he couldn't really pay for the services of a doctor. And on one occasion, after he'd been treated, he wanted to show his gratitude to the doctor. And so he painted the doctor's portrait. And he gave this wonderful picture to the doctor. And the doctor looked at it and thought, don't think much of that. And so he put it, you know, like we do with those wonderful treasures that get hidden up in the attic. And so this picture went up in the attic. And what was more, it was used to replace a broken pane of glass and to keep out the drafts. And eventually, the doctor threw the treasure away. Well, as we know today, Van Gogh's paintings are almost beyond price. And in his love for us, God has given to us great treasure. The treasure of divine dignity as his children. And that is something that we should never throw away. And so we have these parables. These parables when Jesus is instructing his disciples. He started off with the parables that we had a few weeks ago with the sower of the seed and the weeds and the wheat. And that was to great crowds of people. But then Jesus took his disciples to one side and said, I need to teach you. I need to tell you about these things. I need you to know more. So this next part of the story that we've heard today was to his close friends. He was sharing stories with his friends. And we have this cluster of short, pithy parables, each one offering us an insight into what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we're going to explore that. But explore what is suggested about the kingdom of heaven through this little mustard seed, through the yeast, through the field, and through this great pearl. Jesus' stories in this week's gospel reading, like other parables in the gospel, are many modern jokes. They're exaggerated. Jokes. If you're going to tell a joke, well, you exaggerate the story, don't you? And that's what Jesus was doing with these parables. He was exaggerating the story. And we all do it, but I wonder how legitimate it is to exaggerate the story. Is exaggeration the same as a lie? Well, sometimes the answer is yes to that. Because if you take factual statistics and you exaggerate them, then that's not a good thing. But I guess, like Jesus, we've all exaggerated the point at some point in order to tell a story. And that's what happens in many of Jesus' stories. He exaggerates things. Think about it. That story, I'm sure you all know, of the camel having to go through the eye of a needle. He's exaggerating to put his point over. And this week, Jesus exaggerates the smallness of that mustard seed and the size that results into a great big tree. And also, he talks about the impact of the yeast. And many of Jesus' stories, think about it, would have been told in the original Aramaic. So they would have been told jokes in that Aramaic language. And we miss the point of the joke very often in translation. Because it would have been translated into Greek, and latterly, it's now been translated into English. We miss the joke and the point of the story. International negotiators are trained to avoid jokes because so often they turn on the similarity between different words, and therefore they rarely translate well. There is the story of an interpreter saying, the speaker is now telling an untranslatable joke, but it would be polite if you laughed now. And I remember having a profoundly deaf guide, and we were going away for the weekend, and we were stood on the station. And most of my guides had learned to sign so that they could talk to her. They were stood on the station, they were telling jokes, they were all laughing when they were signing these jokes. But the poor girl didn't get the joke at all, because in the signing of the language, the joke got missed. And that often happens in the stories sometimes that we hear from Jesus. So we don't exactly know what Jesus said in the Aramaic, but only how it has been translated over the years. And maybe that we do fail to understand the joke that Jesus wanted to tell. But in these parables, we hear about the treasure of the kingdom and the excitement, a real excitement in finding that treasure. First of all, we had the parable of the mustard seed. And that offers to us words of encouragement to those who puzzle about their investment in the Christian mission. How many times have you been told, not worth doing that? And you think to yourself, well, was it really worth doing that? But Jesus is telling us here in this story that it is worth the investment. It will grow. We don't know how that tiny seed will grow, but we have to allow God to allow that to happen. And we come, when it does grow, to that unexpected surprise. We mustn't be deceived by tiny beginnings. Its final consummation will be great. I wonder, have you ever seen an unexpectedly large growth from something or someone who looked uncompromisingly small? In our Bibles, of course, we have the story of David and Goliath, don't we? The small David, and yet he was able to overcome. I don't know about you, but in one of my churches, we have Messy Church. And from that very small beginnings, you see such great growth. Messy Church is growing and growing. And just last week, I was invited to go and see one of our families because they want to have two of their children baptized. From small beginnings, we never know what is going to happen. So we're all excited because we're going to have not a christingle, but a baptingle, and celebrate together in Messy Church the baptism of two young children. And then we go on to hear that the kingdom is like treasure that is found in the field. And when he found it, he hid it again. And then he went and he bought the whole field. Well, that's not a totally unexpected event, but it is the result of persistent searching. The sheer delight of being in friendship with Jesus. And he tells us that knowing God and living him with him each day is actually far greater than any treasure you will ever own. But it also tells us about the costliness of discipleship. Do we experience our relationship with God as something worth above everything else having? Is it something far greater than everything else that you might have? And the discovery of the treasure and pearls isn't a trivial pursuit. It carries that ultimate significance. Jesus said, this is how it will be at the end of the age. You see, when we find that treasure, it is because we will have eternal consequences. It is a matter of life and death. And so you are asked, Jesus asks us, do you understand this? What did the disciples say? Oh, yes. I wonder if they really did understand it. Do we understand? And if so, will you understand that the kingdom of heaven is about new and old treasure? People are always searching for treasure. I'm sure you've heard of the people that go and buy their lottery tickets or in the hope that they'll win their millions. Or maybe they go off to the casino or they've got stock investments and they play the stock market in the hope that if they win the jackpot, all their troubles will be over. We live in different times. We need to think about traditional values. And many people can't care about them. But as a church, we should value those treasures that are given to us. We are all treasure hunters, looking for something to make us happy. And there's nothing wrong in that. But Christ encourages us to search and to find that real meaning. What life is truly about. He says, go and search. Bring yourself into that relationship with God. That's the ultimate search of our treasure. He's telling us that the kingdom of God is worth everything that we have and more. The kingdom, as Jesus understands it, is a whole new way of living that will turn the values of today's world upside down. The kingdom of God is a very simple concept. It means to know that we are all children of God, and we have a divine dignity and an eternal destiny. And you know, that was the lesson that Jacob had to learn. Jacob got through it all. He prevailed because he knew that God was with him. And he knew that God had chosen him. And it is when we stop and we listen, as I said to you right at the very beginning of our service today, where have you seen God in your life this week? And it is only when we stop and we think and we listen to God that we know that we have a hope for the future. Our chief aim is to live life properly. And the only question that really matters is how to live the best that we can in the world today. And those who belong to the kingdom of God are the ones who will find true joy. Amen.